Today on the Cooligans, we are talking about the Champions League semifinals. The finals are set. We obviously start with Barca and Inter, one of the most ridiculous ties you have ever seen. We break it all down. It is absolutely epic. And then we get to the second game.
Yeah, and we got to talk about Arsenal losing to PSG. Why am I doing this segment? I'm a bit gutted, but we got to give flowers to Luis Enrique and PSG. Absolute incredible semifinal. And I think it's going to be a great final. We talk about that. And then in the third segment, we break down a $10 million game happening with one of your favorite MLS clubs and a top Mexican club to get in the FIFA Club World Cup. You got to check it out. It's going to be crazy. That and more today on the Cooligans. All right, so I was thinking about this. I went to the dentist, and the guy wants me to use a mouth guard because he says that I've been grinding, so he knows I'm out here hustling.
Sure, stacking paper.
See, he knows. He sees a real one, but also been grinding my teeth at night.
Sure.
And I think this is like old grinding teeth. I don't think this is new, but the guy wants me to get a mouth guard.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I just think he makes money on the mouth guard. That's all I think it is.
Yeah, you guys send you an affiliate link.
You know what I mean? Right? I got that in AG1 and Factor.
My diagnosis is in my LinkedIn bio.
Yeah. This is an OnlyFans. Different bio. Different bio. So he wants me to get this. So they have this tube that will, scan your teeth. They're just like rubbing it on all my teeth or whatever.
Okay.
And I'm just like, this is uncomfortable. You know what I mean? I'm not used to this type of activity. This would be like if somebody was holding like a large hot dog and was shoving it in your mouth. You get where I'm going with this. And I was just like, this is a bit odd. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But this is how you scan it. And I am seeing my teeth appear on the screen.
Okay.
It's like a 3D rendering of my teeth. It's really cool. And I was thinking about this. Dudes don't really like, I'm not a huge fan of the dentist. It's just the only time anyone's ever like in you as a doctor. You know what I mean? And I feel like I've heard my wife, I've heard my sister, I've heard a lot of people talk about going to the doctor. It feels like there's a lot of poking and prodding that
invasive,
happens.
Invasive, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. I feel like female doctor visits, very invasive. Dudes very rarely is. Like they tell you later in life, look, you're going to get your prostate checked. Everyone's like, oh my God.
Sure.
It's like really it. I'm now understanding why dudes don't really like the dentist. It's the only time where we have to feel like how a woman feels whenever she goes to the doctor.
It's ever. It's the penetration.
Yeah.
Sure.
And by the way, the dude didn't even show. I didn't know what the process was. He was just like, open your mouth, and which a dentist says a lot. And you just do it because you're like, I trust you. And then all of a sudden, there's a large plastic. And I go, this is medical, right?
Sure.
Like,
I mean, it's a little bit, what's the word? Like when you're guarding your heterosexuality a little too much. You know what I mean?
What is?
This like being like, Even the comparison of like, being somebody being inside you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like.
But what I'm saying is like, man, I've gone to the doctor my whole life. They never just like poke inside you.
Right. Yeah, sure.
So I'm like, now I'm understanding why this feels uncommon to people. This is why men who are less evolved for me don't like going to the dentist.
I wouldn't say that is the reason.
I think it's one of them.
Okay. Well, it's on the board as one of the possible reasons.
Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think.
I just realized I'm like, I can't even say like, yo, dude, relax. Because the guy's scanning my teeth. I'm seeing it. This is functional.
Why does the speculum have to go in my mouth?
Oh, damn. Stirrups.
Okay. I'm not, I don't.
So go to the dentist more.
I'm not uncomfortable at the dentist.
I'm not uncomfortable either. But I had the thought like, no. This is why like guys who drive trucks for work. Don't go to the dentist,
Sure. Yes. Maybe.
Guys who are afraid to eat bananas in front of their friends.
Sure.
Don't go to the dentist.
We, for some reason, we need to pander and placate to these people.
No. I'm saying they should grow up.
Anyway, well, I hope your teeth are okay.
They're actually fine. Just some little bit grinding.
Grinding. All right. But damn. Bring your mouth guard to the studio
damn,
one
just
day.
Just like prom night, dude.
All right.
Is it grinding in my sleep?
All right. Well, we got, you got a new reason to grind your teeth because Arsenal are out of that goddamn champion. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
This is Cooligans. We are, I'm trying to, you know, I don't know. We don't have like we don't have somber music on the board, but I think this is a good time for it because we're
obviously. Didn't we have like the wah, 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 wah? Is that on here somewhere?
I don't know. Is it there?
And a random button time.
Come to find out.
Nope, that's not it.
That's not it.
There it is.
LeBron James of soccer.
Okay, we're just having fun with buttons now.
There it is.
Okay, this is.
Nope, that's not it.
Everybody ate.
You put a lot of these sounds in.
I did.
Oh, this is the old like talk like
robot.
Change of voice. Yeah. Change our voices.
Is it changing our voices right now?
Yeah. So we have. Anyway, okay. So that's not the point of this show. The Cooligans on Yahoo Sports as always. Excited to be back. We got to talk Champions. This is a Champions League episode. Let's get to it. All right. Well, we have to talk Champions League, no matter how much you touch the button and try to avoid
Let's
it.
Let's go. Barcelona Inter. What a game.
The Champions League final is set. We know it's going to be
Inter Milan versus PSG.
And we got to break down both of those matches, both of those second legs. And we'll start. Alexis has some time to process his thoughts.
I'm more emotionally invested in the second game we'll talk about.
We're recording this right after. Yeah. The Arsenal PSG.
They were
game.
Like, what, 12 stages? No. First stage, record podcast. I think that's what Sigmund Freud said.
So let's get right to it.
Barcelona and Inter played probably the most epic semifinal in Champions League history. This game was absolutely incredible, and that's why it's our top topic.
Inter Milan against Barcelona. This game is at the San Siro. Well, I mean, two legs. I mean, this is just two football matches a week apart that had a lot of similarities where it felt like
they felt like they swapped script, like swapped dialogue in the script.
It was like, you know, the first one was good. The sequel's never as good.
No, this is Godfather. You were like, I think I like the second one more than the
first.
Right,
like you couldn't.
Technically, it doesn't count because Godfather was a prequel. But what I will say, and I need to hear from you what you think. Is this the greatest two-leg semifinal of a Champions League you've ever seen? Because it is for me.
And because I don't have, just a super clear and great history with watching a lot of Champions League in general.
When I say that to you, I mean like in recent history. I'm not going back to like, '02, there was... Nico's not here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The one that came to mind for me is the Barcelona PSG where Barcelona came back.
That was a big one.
In 2017.
And also, maybe not as exciting, but Real Madrid versus Manchester City because no one knew what was going to happen. That was like the first sign that there were dents in the Manchester City armor.
Right. So that's the only one that in recent memory comes close. But this, and especially... If the bar is both legs being as entertaining, that's why it feels like this matchup kind of like takes that award. This was the first game felt a little bit more. I mean, it was clearly like this preview of the second game where you thought, hey, what mistakes did we make in the first game? Let's fix those up so we don't do that again. And no, Barcelona in particular did not really adjust anything at all. And that's why we have a 7-6 aggregate. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to entertainment, I mean, you can't ask for anything more. That was remarkable.
I think the way I look at this semifinal is if you have a friend that's never watched a game of soccer before mm-hmm. and they saw either one of those games or both, so they're buying an Inter or Barcelona shirt. They might be getting a tattoo. Mm-hmm. They're going to start vacationing near San Siro. Like, there's no way you watch that and I go, I need to see so much more of this.
Yeah.
Because that is, to me, like, such a great expression. And Thierry Henry said that, you know, he had been kind of bored of football for the last 2 years. And, you know, watching these games kind of excited him again. Are you in the same sort of mentality, like, where you're like, kind of bored of the Pep way?
I did see that.
Because remember when the Pep era started at Barcelona, the excitement level was insane. I'm like, what are they doing? They're passing around people.
Right.
But now we're starting to get back to the individual superstar era.
It's interesting. And I guess we can, given that we are peers of Thierry Henry.
Which is why I'm asking.
Which is why everybody is, you know, wants our
opinion. Everyone knows that. Who's watching and listening.
But, you know, working in this game and having to watch as much soccer and football that we do. I mean, and most normal people do not consume as much of this sport as we do. I don't agree with Thierry Henry. And maybe he's watching. Maybe he's not watching U.S. Open Cup. Okay, because we got plenty of it. I mean, boring games. What are you watching boring games for?
Right.
Switch to a different league, bro. There you have all of them available.
Did you not watch Des Moines Menace versus Tulsa?
You need the link. I'll send you the YouTube link. It's available for you to watch, right? Bro.
Hey, yo, comment, like, subscribe.
Ain't even geo-blocked or nothing.
Nah, they're begging.
So that statement I thought was a little...
I think it's more from a bird's eye view, like...
And he's watching the game in a much different way than we are. But
he's picking up different things than we are. But I think if you look at it from a bird's eye view, I think a lot of people say, like, you know, there was an era where every team wanted to play like Pep.
Yeah.
And it seems to kind of be switching. Seems like teams are getting back, which I think that is football, right? Like when everyone does one thing, it's the person that's willing to do the other thing that starts to have some, you know, get some rewards, get some benefits. It seems like Bayer Leverkusen kind of, for me, broke the door open to relationism where there were teams that were trying it and kind of maybe finding a little bit of success. Bayer Leverkusen came in as like, yo, we went undefeated with relationism. So like, you know, positional play, maybe not as important as if I kind of know you like to run that way, I could do something over here and kind of release you and send something that way. And then now you look really good. And then maybe I could get in an open spot in case you get. And like that style of play where that's where, to me, the magic of football lies. So as much as I'm a big fan of position, you know, position play and, you know, being more methodical, there's something really exciting about the way Barcelona are willing to play. And if you're Inzaghi, and I've been raving about Inzaghi for years, he's willing to commit everyone. I mean, I'm surprised the goalkeeper is not up there. He's willing to commit so many bodies, and it's a risk. It's risk and reward, right? He's asking his players to be brave. Go. I know your job is to be back there and defend. Go forward and get your ass back if you need to. And against a team like Barcelona, who can probably hit you the hardest and the fastest, that's really dangerous. And the fact that he was still willing to play that way made for such great, great football.
It was good TV. You know, I was telling Carter before we started recording, like what Barcelona reminded me of, which what we've been seeing very recently, is Inter Miami's defending, right? Just again, emergency defending.
Right.
Focus on you know, the you're gonna outscore them, and then you'll even if you give up six, you'll score seven. And this time they got burned on the other end of that. But this is this was a game where like you have to again just give credit to Inzaghi, the poise to simply let Barcelona have the ball and dominate possession and really in both legs. And still just be like, not lose confidence that you're not going to, you know, create an opportunity for yourself. And they.
But also whose idea is it like, oh, they're really good on the counter. What if we don't give them enough space to counter by letting them have the ball as long as they want?
Yeah, it was
it's crazy.
It's risky, but they had the quality defending. And I think you saw it a lot in the second leg and arguably in the first as well. But the Lamine Yamal. I was wondering, I'm like, why is the game is just happening on the right side? And I'm like, who's marking Lamine Yamal? Federico Di Marco.
Yeah.
And
who's a superstar.
Who's really good, but you pick
Lamine Yamal.
Go against him, right? And he cooked him a couple times, but like, you know, they ended up obviously winning. But then Dumfries on the other side. Rafinha was just
pocketed.
I mean, look, Rafinha scored, but he just wasn't involved in the game.
Well, the Hansi Flick system, right? They're gonna get those opportunities. They're gonna score on you. The thing you got to do is stop them from scoring three each. You know, in the way they play. Yeah. And I mean, a Dumfries is absolutely incredible. But it's the trust. Acerbi's 37 years old. This guy's beat cancer twice. He didn't start playing until 2006. Yeah. I mean, this guy's been around for forever. For him to score the game winner, why are you up that far? Like. Those types of things.
He tied it. It wasn't the game.
Sorry. He equalized. But for me, it's like that. Who else is willing to say like, bro, go up there. We'll be fine. It's not like they did. It's not like they have Rafinha. I mean, oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, who cares? Go up there anyway.
Yeah. It's like that. You got to give Inzaghi his flowers for. And look, you still gave up 6 goals. So it's not even about like.
But does it matter if you score 7?
It matters for me calling you some kind of genius. I'm just saying.
It's Barcelona. They're going to score on you anyway.
I get that. So I give credit, especially in being able to score those 7, mm-hmm. because that is not like the Inter we're used to seeing in Serie A. Like that's very rare. But there were so many players that stepped up. And you can just see, even in the extra time of the second leg, where you can see Marcus Thuram, you can see, unbelievably tired. Yeah. You could tell he was, after the game, I think it was Dumfries saying like he was playing with an injury. Playing with an injury.
And gas.
And 120 minutes.
On E.
And just did enough, especially in that extra time to, again, go back to defend, make it difficult. Barcelona really couldn't do that much in the middle. And they needed, and they were looking for like an unbelievable moment from Lamine Yamal. And he was... If it was not for Jan Sommer, it's a completely different story.
So what was Jan Sommer? Something like 8 million? I forgot how much they paid for him.
Right.
Some ridiculous number. Yeah, Carter, if you could look that up. Some ridiculous number. I think Inter sells Onana to Manchester United for, I think, 50 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
And Jan Sommer for a steal. And Jan Sommer, do you have it?
I mean, I don't know how that... 5 million pounds. 6.75 million euros.
He came from Mönchengladbach,
right? Ridiculous.
He came from Bayern Munich. He played for half a season
with
Bayern Munich.
He was in Mönchengladbach then.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. What business they've done. I mean, 5.6, you said?
5 million. 6.75 million euros.
Oh.
I mean, it's to have a game like that, it's... He needed the Lev Yashin hat.
Yeah,
bro.
For real, bro. The paperboy hat.
He was making the curling shot. I mean, he made a bunch of great saves, but the curling shot from Lamine Yamal that he just gets to, and it's just like, what? Who is this guy?
Yeah. He was on one.
And he got man of the match. He is the reason they won that game because the defending from Inter Milan was they just couldn't stop those players. But again,
I think it was not this season. Last season, he might have been like second or third most clean sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people give credit to the way Inter defend. But when the last guy you got to beat is Jan Sommer and he's playing like that, I don't care if you're Lamine Yamal, you're going to have a tough night.
Yeah.
You're going to have a real tough night.
And there's not too much, as far as the attacking, there's not too much you can say about Barcelona. They did, they put up 6. That should be enough. Across 2 games to win, but not in this case.
Do you remember prize fighting?
Do I remember it?
Yeah.
I was a part.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
A couple times.
Nice. The truth about him comes out. Remember the guy who was like the American dude? He wore like the America shorts. He had the big mustache. It was called prize fighting. It was like pre-UFC. I've seen clips of it all the time. Like they go viral. There was him and like a Japanese dude, and they both have one hand on the back of the other guy's neck, and they're both wailing on each other. There's no defending, no nothing.
It's like a hockey fight.
Yeah. But like no one's even trying to duck out. They're just like, which one of us is going to collapse first? That's what this was over 2 legs.
Right. So Inter.
Google prize fighting for that social media clip.
Inter. So the 7-6 scoreline was the joint highest scoring semifinal in the UEFA Champions League, along with Liverpool 7-6 Roma in 2017-2018. But this is there's a couple other players to highlight that we're trying to just
give everyone their flowers.
Give their flowers. But Lautaro Martinez, he scored 9 goals in Champions League so far, and a joint record for an Inter player in a single campaign in the Champions League and the European Cup.
Wow, tied with Hernan Crespo, bro.
It's like a sneaky. I didn't think he's been scoring, but I'm not really.
Have 8-1 games?
Paying attention to it. And he's been, he hasn't been. He was coming back from an injury, so he hasn't really been playing like the full 90 the last couple weeks. But again, it is the composure. Because again, they go up 2.
Mm-hmm.
And you think like, oh man, they're not going to do this. Barcelona's not going to do this again.
Right.
And they come right back. And again, for the lead to change so many times. And It's just like for the moment for Acerbi to just even be there and hit that shot and,
so perfectly.
And, you know, it all leads to the, it's just a, it's a, they're so chaotic in the back for Barca. And that's why they end up in that situation. I thought they would still win it, even after Acerbi.
Really?
Yeah. I just thought like, they keep coming back. They might, they're just going to do it again. And it was just too much. It was just insurmountable. But just lovely, lovely, like incredible. Football. They're nothing.
I wish they had four more matches of that. Yeah. I would love it.
The last question we have before we get to the other game is about Rafinha. Rafinha, you know, he did score in the game. He's had a fantastic Champions League season. He's had a great 24-25.
He's risen to a level I did not think he had.
So a couple months ago, there was everybody's kind of talking like he's kind of a front runner for the Ballon d'Or. Obviously, Mohamed Salah is in that conversation. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of talking about this in pre-production. Should Rafinha still be the favorite for Ballon d'Or? Even though, the season's not over, but Liverpool wins their league. And it feels like these two are the front runners. I mean, I feel like Lamine Yamal is going to be in the conversation.
He'll be in the conversation, but yeah, these are the
front runners. These two feel like the front runners.
As far as I'm concerned, you have to have international success as well. And I think that that's what hindered Vinny last year.
Yeah.
Because Brazil's just kind of not doing it. So I think Rafinha may fall under the same thing. It's a calendar year, right? So it's a calendar year.
Yeah.
So if you lose in Champions League, I guess that really can't be considered because this is now the following year. We're talking about last Ballon d'Or is 2024 calendar year.
Yeah, yeah. So it would be this year, 2025 only.
No, it'd be 2024, wouldn't it?
Carter, can you confirm?
The 2025 Ballon d'Or will be awarded in October of 2025, but it will basically recognize the best players from the calendar season. So from September of 2024 until August of 2025.
Okay.
So it'll include this summer, whatever summer competition.
Okay, got it. So
it'll be the full season plus the summer.
The summer.
Gotcha. Okay. So I don't know. I feel like Rafinha also being a part of Brazil is going to hinder him because Brazil is just not doing well right now. Not to the level that they used to before. It's the same reason why Vinny probably suffered a little bit.
Yeah. But compared to Salah and Egypt, I mean, there's no tournament or anything for AFCON or like.
There's no major tournament this summer outside of
for either of them.
Yeah. And so it really goes down to what can you do in the regular season? They both bowed out in Champions League early, right?
But Rafinha got further.
Right. And they both won their league.
Rafinha won Copa del Rey.
That's a second trophy.
Second trophy, yeah.
So if Spain wins some tournament this summer, it goes to Lamine Yamal. That's how I'm looking at it.
Maybe. Yeah. That's
I don't care that Rafinha is out towards the ladder. I mean, getting out in the semifinal to not even
there's
making.
Nothing that, but there's nothing in Europe either. There's nothing Spain is playing in.
Even if people are saying that, Rafinha didn't win Champions League or he's not in the final, so it shouldn't be count. Dude, Mohamed Salah didn't even make it the knockout stages. So.
They got booted out in the first round.
Yeah, so, I mean, at least this guy made the finals.
Sure. There's still a few games left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Mohamed Salah is having a spectacular season. 30-something. I don't have the numbers. Goals and assists. But he's leading Rafinha. Yeah. So if he gets like 10 more goals, not 10, he's not going to get 10, but like if he gets like 5 more goals and a couple more assists, there's a fair argument, but Rafinha will have one more trophies and Rafinha will only be a few goals and assists behind from Mohamed Salah.
What was it, 2 years ago we were talking about Mohamed Salah being the best player in the world?
Mm-hmm.
He had that run. I feel like he deserves some type of award.
Sure.
For Salah, really quickly, he's got 46 goal contributions in the Premier League this year. The most ever in a season by a player in Premier League history. Yeah, last one was Thierry Henry. He had 44. So he's already surpassed that. And there's still three, four matches left in this.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mohamed Salah gets...
Rafinha deserves a shout.
Yeah, without a doubt.
As far as I'm concerned.
They're kind of neck and neck.
Yeah.
And again, winning that second trophy, I think you can make an argument. It's just something like Rafinha's success this season... literally came out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know, it's too bad that soccer doesn't do most improved player. You know, why don't like they in American
the,
sports?
Why don't they have clutch player of the year, yeah, like Jalen Brunson? Sorry,
the Coca-Cola clutch player of the year.
It's an opportunity for some good branded
just
trophies.
Say, I don't know how to make money out there, bro.
Yes, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know if Rafinha gets it or not, but I'd be fine with either him or Mohamed.
We're going to take a quick break and then talk about this PSG-Arsenal game, the second leg, and see if we can cheer Alexis up. Arsenal are done. They are out of the Champions League, losing to PSG 3-1 aggregate. They lose 1-0 at home at the Emirates, and at Parc des Princes, they lose 2-1. Mm-hmm. Alexis, let's go to you, bro, the Arsenal fan, the Gooner. How you feeling?
Yeah, that term is taking on a life of its own now. I probably would have had better time doing that for the 180 minutes. It's frustrating because it almost felt like I was playing with house money watching Arsenal in the semifinal. I did not think they would
beat
Real Madrid. All right, let's relax. I didn't think they'd beat Real Madrid. I did not expect that. So when they did, I was like, anything can happen. And I think we could have played. I think Arsenal could have played PSG, could have gone toe-to-toe with them. I think at the end of the day, the lack of options absolutely caught up to Arsenal. There's just... Yeah, Mikel Merino not being able to start at striker in the first match. And I understand Partey couldn't be there. So you had to reshuffle. I think that was a misstep. Do something else. Maybe Zinchenko, maybe Jorginho, something else to just hold the tide back, but give yourself an option offensively. And I think you saw that in the first match. They really had no answers. And although in the second match, Arsenal started really well. They started with putting a lot of pressure on them. But, you know, a lot of these teams say, like, their managers will look at them and say, you've got to withstand the first 15 minutes because they're coming out to play. And that's exactly what Arsenal did, and that's exactly what PSG did. They just knew these guys are going to gas themselves out, and then PSG could take momentum. And I think Luis Enrique, I've mentioned it before, a master tactician. I also think Mikel Arteta is a master tactician. So it really depends on who's going to outsmart the other ones. Two really good chess players going against each other. If you have more pieces, you're probably going to win, you know? And I think in that case...
Having strikers helps.
Yeah, and having people that come off the bench, you're like, oh my God, him too?
Yeah.
You know, having Gonzalo Ramos on the bench, you're like, oh, come on, you know?
Yeah.
And Arsenal, who do we have? Raheem Sterling, you know? So there was nowhere else to go besides plan A, and plan A just wasn't good enough with the amount of injuries we were dealing with.
Yeah, so, I see the Arsenal tears. I see the excuses. Mm-hmm. I see the complaints. But yeah, when the camera pans to the bench and it's all these injured players that are superstars that are making millions, you're gonna get found out at some point. It's miraculous that they got as far as they did. Given that the domestic league was like running away from them, and then they put all the energy into Champions League and it paid off.
Yeah.
This was a thing where, you know, you got to give Luis Enrique his flowers. He had more pieces and you know, it's Arsenal weren't working with a full hand.
No.
But it's everything is really the midfield. The PSG midfield worked hard, defended well, especially in those first 20 minutes.
Yeah,
they had to defend the entire time. I mean, they at home, so they were put under a lot of pressure. But they won. They won balls. They countered. They put Arsenal under a ton of pressure in those moments when they lost the ball, and
they tried to make them pay for it.
And, yeah,
I mean, Donnarumma stood on his head,
and that's really at the end of the day. It's like even if Arsenal could figure out getting through all those players, and they, you know, PSG played with a fairly low block. There wasn't really much going on in the middle. And then when you get chances and you break them down, Gianluigi Donnarumma is there to just ruin your day.
This final is going to be two great goalkeepers because Jan Sommer's on one and Donnarumma's on one.
Yeah.
Donnarumma had that falling save that he ended up hurting his shoulder on.
Yeah. Odegaard.
Odegaard just rockets the ball. Odegaard did play better than he has been in the past few weeks. Just not good enough. But that moment there, I was like, that kind of deflated me. I was like, oh, you know what? this is his day. We just don't have any answers. And there really were no questions even being asked much after that. You figure you got a goalkeeper who just potentially injured himself. Maybe you take a couple shots on that side and just there was really nothing you can, nothing materialized.
Right.
And Arsenal had a lot of the possession in the first half and where they were able to crowd the box, but you can do nothing with it. And I think Luis Enrique deserves a ton of the credit because we talk about what happened last year. We've talked about it a couple times in their sort of run. Remember the league phase didn't go too well for them. They were almost not even qualifying for the playoff round.
That's also kind of a point of contention that UEFA thinks that they should change the rule because Arsenal finished second in the league phase, and then they don't host the second game. Because it was a draw, and they end up, and it was randomized, so they end up having to play the first game at home and then the second game away. So that's been another kind of talking point of they had to do that against Real Madrid as well. They ended up winning.
Yeah.
But this is, it seems clearly like unfair. Like, why even try that hard outside of just winning more money in the league phase? But the advantage should be the second game.
But also the bye that you get. You don't have to play in that playoff round that PSG had to.
Yes, yes.
So PSG had to play the two extra matches. But when you go back to the season before, you know, we talked about it here. You didn't win it. You didn't get to the champion. You didn't win the Champions League with Mbappe. You didn't win with Neymar. You didn't win with Messi. You didn't win with a sea of superstars. And now you're going to the final with, this is what the fans asked for. They wanted something that represented them a little bit more. They wanted Parisian players. They wanted French players on the team. They didn't want the superstars. And not to say that they went out and got a bunch of guys you've never heard of.
Yeah.
But they certainly have an absolutely incredible manager that's made the most of this, from benching Mbappe, you know, to benching him, to take him off the pitch at 28 minutes, 24 minutes, you know, doing whatever he needed to do to make sure that he was like, this is my club, not yours. And look at how this has progressed. And if you go back to this Champions League, people talk about the French league like it's a farmers league. You hear Brits talk about that all the time. Who are the four teams outside of, they beat Brest in that playoff round, I think by an aggregate of 10-0, if I'm not mistaken. But who'd they beat before that? In the seventh match day, they beat Manchester City. Manchester City got booted out. They go in, right? That's what helped them. They needed to beat Manchester City just to progress.
Right.
They needed to beat them just to get into the playoff round. They beat Liverpool in the first round. They beat Aston Villa in the second round. And now they just beat Arsenal. That's Manchester City, Arsenal, Liverpool, and Aston Villa. Those are the four teams that qualify for the Champions League. They literally buzzsawed through the best that the Premier League have to offer. And this is not a team with superstars. This is minus Mbappe, minus Neymar, minus Messi. This is a team built in Luis Enrique's vision. This is a team built by Parisians, what the fans asked for. So as far as I'm concerned, flowers, all the flowers need to go Luis Enrique. Not only did he do it, he went through quite possibly one of the hardest track records to get to this final, which gives me the point to say, as much as I love Inzaghi, I've got all the belief that Luis Enrique will figure out something tactically that will put a little bit extra pressure on Inter and possibly win Champions League final. And to win it without Mbappe, without Neymar, and without Messi would be absolutely huge.
It's comedy. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah, if this was a movie, they'd be like, all right, relax.
No one's going to believe that.
Yeah, do we?
This is a, you know, the one thing I want to mention just specifically about the game that I thought was really smart from Luis Enrique was Nuno Mendes picks up that early yellow, and who's marking Bukayo Saka for the rest of the game? Kvaratskhelia is marking. And it was just, it's like, he's just like, oh, well, he's one of our, arguably the best defender. Don't want him to pick up that second yellow. Have this winger that isn't even that like super pacey or whatever. But he
likes to drive at defenders, which can cause that second foul.
And to just make that decision and for it to work, everything worked. I mean, the midfield, Fabian Ruiz, Vitinha, Neves.
Yeah, Neves was incredible.
They were all great. And it's not even just like goals and assists. It was like, just winning the ball back. Pushing forward at counters, duels. They just did everything right, and there was again. It all kind of goes back to I think if Donnarumma is not the goalkeeper for PSG, I think Arsenal win this game.
At the very least, it's a lot closer, and especially in the second match.
Yeah.
But I also want to say we talk a little bit about Arsenal. We gave our flowers to, we gave flowers to Luis Enrique, and he absolutely deserves it. Now looking on the other side. The one question I do have from Mikel Arteta, and there are a couple, right? I think we're getting to show it or prove it or lose it kind of part of the plan, the 5-year plan, the 6-year plan that he had. I think we're at the point now where next season, I think he has to do something or else he runs the risk of being gone. But the reason why I have some questions is it came out in the papers. Reporters were talking about it. PSG's plan was to suffocate the link between Odegaard and Saka. They play very close to each other. That 1-2 creates a lot of opportunities. Both of the matches we went to, you specifically said the whole game's being played on the right-hand side. And that's because you need the pressure release. You need that pressure valve to release on the left-hand side. You need your left-sided winger to drive at defenders so that there's questions and that you have to commit more players to that left-hand side, which should open it up for Odegaard and Bukayo Saka. And that did not happen. And I know I've been very critical of Martinelli, and he did more in this match than he's done in the past. Mm-hmm. In the last few weeks, he's tried to do more, but it's just not enough. You need that finishing product. You need them to be like, oh no, this guy's on one. This guy can hurt us with half an inch, you know, a small step, half a step. He can hurt us. Well, he doesn't have that.
Half inch not gonna hurt, I'll be honest.
No, but it could do some damage. So I've heard.
But what's Martinelli gonna do? Ashraf Hakimi's there as well.
When does Hakimi even defend? Man, the guy's usually all the way on as a forward.
He's a decent defender.
But come on, there's no one on the left hand side, and there is no one other than Raheem Sterling.
Sure.
That can come in and even change anything.
I mean, again, we were talking about it last week, but the options on the bench is there's two goalkeepers on the bench, which already screams that there's a problem.
Yeah, but I think if I'm the Arsenal sporting director, I'm looking at this and I'm saying we need to completely rebuild the bench, but also first striker is the top priority.
I mean,
immediately red alert. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Need a striker.
Second, 1A might be left wing. You just need something more.
Okay, maybe move on from Martinelli.
I think it's time.
I mean, it's a...
And by the way, wherever he goes, he's going to play well. It's like the Anthony effect.
He's been there a long time, and...
he's going to go to Rabetis, and yeah, he's going to play incredibly well.
I feel like he's hit his ceiling. I mean, it's...
He hasn't progressed in 2-3 years?
Yeah, and look, he has done, a great service to the club, but I can understand them moving on. The...
Whatever.
They
might have paid like a million.
This second game, I thought he was trying to be creative.
Certainly,
I would be more critical of him in the first leg. The opportunity. I mean, this again, but it's also Donnarumma. It was just on one. As far as these semifinals, I don't think I've seen goalkeeping performances across both semifinal matchups like that were this high quality. I mean, the amount of saves, and if you're if you're just like casually into a game or casually into the sport and don't really pay attention to like either goalkeeping or the defensive side of the game, that is also something to speak highly of, because the goalkeepers were unreal. I would argue for Jan Sommer and for Donnarumma, if those are not your goalkeepers, you're probably not moving on.
I say also Thomas Partey, a lot was made of him missing the first match because of a stupid yellow he picked up before that.
Right.
He misses the first match and everyone's like, oh, when he comes in, it's going to be good. Super lazy on the clearance for that last goal. Heads the ball what a weak header. Why would you head directly to the top of the box before that, which was the second goal? The first goal, the second goal.
The first goal, Ruiz. Second was Hakimi.
So then the first goal was Ruiz, the one he heads the ball directly.
It was a golazo.
Yeah, well. Sure. But the assist goes to Thomas Partey. That's ridiculous. It's super lazy defending. Yes, he does some things that are really good. Get this man off my team. I already don't like what he does off the pitch.
Yeah.
And I absolutely disgrace what he was doing on the pitch in this match. All right, get him off the team.
The only argument I would make for his play on the field is that those first 20 minutes of Arsenal dominating, I don't think happen with Marino or Trossard up front and Marino in the midfield. That's the only thing I would say.
Good defensive midfielder that can distribute the ball is all they need.
They should have scored in the first 20 minutes, and I think this is a very different result. But
I don't disagree.
Okay, so as far as the final, let's just, before we get to the next topic, we should give some prediction. So PSG against Inter Milan, who we taking?
Well, I want to say, you said Barcelona would win easily.
I did say that.
And I said Inter would win.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm on a streak. I also said PSG would win. So I feel like I'm on a hot streak right here. So I'm saying PSG winning.
the Champions League.
Interesting. I'm gonna go with I think Inter win the Champions
League. Now all of a sudden you're an Inzaghi guy.
After seeing what they did against Barcelona, I think they if they can withstand the amount of goals that they just gave up and still found a way to win, I give them a lot of credit. PSG, I wouldn't be shocked if PSG win.
Do you think PSG are going to defend the way Barcelona did?
No, but
they're PSG are essentially a light and much more pragmatic version of Barcelona.
I do not agree with that at all.
I do.
I think you're saying
they have the ability to counter the same way Barcelona do, but yeah, they're much more mid block, much more willing to defend, whereas Barcelona send everyone forward. So I think it's a much more pragmatic version of a Barcelona, the way Hansi Flick liked to play.
I don't agree at all.
Okay.
When you say pragmatic, I think that disconnects anything related to Barcelona.
Meaning they're willing to hurt you on the counter, and they're willing to say, like, if you have the ball, we're not going to panic because we know we have a release valve over there.
Okay. Sure. Oh, whatever. You're wrong. I'm right. And cool. That's usually how it is.
Good conversation.
All right. Let's take another quick break, and then we're going to talk about the $10 million game that is happening to enter the Club World Cup. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back. Let's talk a little bit about FIFA Club World Cup, because there were some questions as to whether Grupo Pachuca, who owns two teams that qualified, would be able to have both teams. Club León is not allowed to play.
They are kicked out. James Rodriguez will not be in the Club World Cup, which
is a bummer. Remember, Mexican teams can loan players out to other teams that qualify.
We'll see.
I love the rules. So this rule was enough to breach. But right, that means it opens up the door for another team to possibly get in. So Club América and LAFC will be playing a match that is essentially worth about $10 million.
Correct.
Now, Tom Bogart and Ben Jacobs put out an article reporting this on givemesport.com. Go ahead and check that out. Carter, you mind scrolling down a little bit? Because they talk a little bit about what that prize money will be. So it looks like $10 million match, right? The winner will gain a guarantee entry fee of $9.55 million, plus an additional $2 million per group stage win and round-by-round prize money. The winner will be placed in the final spot of Group D alongside Chelsea, Flamengo, and ES Tunis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something where the next few MLS matches, you're like, let's play the kids.
Everybody relax, bro. Okay. Bawanga, back to the ice bath.
So, yeah, this is a what an interesting surprise to kind of fall on your lap and a game of such incredible importance. And I know people are fans are generally like, oh, Club World Cup, this new version, why should I pay attention to it? But let's just talk about from the player's perspective. And it's like the club.
Yeah.
$10 million to play one game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, more money than you would get for winning MLS Cup.
Is it more money than you get for winning MLS Cup? I don't even have to look it up. I'm pretty sure it is.
Of course. Yeah. So.
How much you get for US Open Cup again?
Imagine, is that close? I think US Open Cup just got to like $1 million.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So if you're LAFC, this changes like the next 6 years? You win $9.55 million in one game?
Yeah. I mean, it's not MLS. You're not going to be able to spend it. So
I mean, actually, revenue.
Yeah, yeah. Not with the cash trade thing that you can probably do stuff to improve the roster.
Buying everyone's best play.
No, I think this is a unique and exciting thing. I mean, it calls into question, for people not fully aware of all the details. You can't have multi-club ownership in part of in the Club World Cup. So you can't have two teams you own. I don't know the details. We were sort of talking about this before we started recording it. Like, I don't know why Club León is the odd team out,
Probably because they're the lower team as far as ownership. It's Grupo Pachuca. So they own Pachuca. Pachuca bought Club León.
So maybe it's especially as far deciding which club to put in. Like, I'm sure they asked Grupo Pachuca, which club, you can't have both.
I wonder who they're going to pick.
Yeah, yeah. So they said that they went to the court of arbitration for sport. Yeah. They said that they put the Club León in a blind trust. Yeah. Saying, you know, I don't even know. I don't even know those guys.
Yeah, well, who then? Bro, never.
But the court said that that wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And so we sort of, we missed out, like I said, on James Rodriguez. So that's a bummer. But the,
but the potential for either LAFC, which is, you know, one of the outside of Inter Miami, probably the biggest spotlighted club in MLS.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of big names. Obviously, Giroud's on there, but they just seem to attract a lot of attention. And then you got Grupo América, which is the biggest club in Liga América.
Yeah, I'm happy for both of the teams that get the opportunity to be a part of the Club World Cup. I'm a little annoyed with FIFA that this is even a situation. I don't know how you feel about this. I don't think this should be a rule for this tournament. It feels a little
out of your mind.
It feels a little silly.
You can't own two teams in any tournament.
I mean, I can't think.
You lose against them, it helps us. All like the machinations, you just can't. It's ridiculous.
I get that, but it seems like
this is an Alexis moment for you.
Come on, it's like something. People own multiple teams. What are you gonna like?
That's the negative to the multi-team ownership.
It's annoying. They qualify.
You don't want to see RB Leipzig versus RB Salzburg in Rebel Salzburg in Champions League.
I don't want to, but if they qualify,
I ain't watching that, man. What two teams are owned by the same people?
But Club León, the players didn't do anything wrong. They qualified for the Club World Cup.
It's not the players' fault that they played for a team that's multi-club owned.
I feel bad from a player's perspective. It's like a frustrating situation.
I think it would have happened to our favorite team, New York City FC. They qualified and Manchester City qualified.
I would not have been okay with that.
Yeah. I would have been upset about it, but I think that's part of the negative of being part of a multi-club group.
Let us know what you think when it comes to that stuff. It gets all bureaucratic and all this other stuff, but
it's not that bureaucratic. It's multi-club. You can't own two clubs in the same competition.
Anyway, all right, let's wrap up there. Thank you everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Cooligans. I hope you enjoyed, if you're an Inter or PSG fan, mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed Champions League. Watch, we're gonna be doing something really cool for the Champions League final as well, so be on the lookout for that. Subscribe if you haven't yet. That's what we have a lot to look forward to. So make sure you subscribe to the Cooligans here on YouTube.
Also, check out our YouTube because we just put up a whole new video concept.
Yeah, that's right. We put in
a lot of effort. A
little Champions League bar review. Mm-hmm. Go take a look. That is available on our YouTube channel as well. Maybe, Cardi, you can add the little click here for the video or whatever.
We'll do it right here.
Do that right now. That'll be the recommended.
It's right in the middle.
The recommended video that's right in the middle of the screen.
It's probably not in the middle.
y'all the best. We appreciate it. We'll see you on, what's today? We're recording this on Wednesday. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. So take care. Have a good weekend. Hope all your teams lose. Peace.
Love you guys. Hey, if you watch the video, hit the like button. Share it with a friend.